And I'm about to use my best Egger pun I've ever used for Sheldon. I'm so excited.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Who is? Yeah. What is it? I'll tell you if it's any good.
All right. So yeah, run this Brad Geiger pun past the expert, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. And Brad's like, nope, I used that in 1983. That's what it's going to be.
He'll be the judge.
So no, that's the part if it's a really good one, if you've used it before and you're going to use it again.
So
with impunity.
This Olympic storyline, right, Brad? And the final medal shot where Flacco's going to be getting the gold, the Chinese guy's getting the silver, but they're missing the guy for the bronze. And then in the fourth panel, Arthur's like, "Oh, dude, we're missing the final nationality." And so it's going to be a pullback shot, and he yells out really loud to the stadium, "Check, please!" And it's going to be spelled CZ.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so bad.
Dave? It's really good, so don't use it. Please don't use it.
Yeah, that's too good to be one of my puns. You've got to, if it's going to be one of my puns, you've got to go way further and stretch way harder.
That's
for the
true.
Pun.
It would be check, please, would be in panel two, and you would have to have a bunch of,
yeah,
we're not catching checks today. Ah.
Hey,
but cashing would be spelled C-A-C-H-I-N-G.
Yeah, exactly.
In front of him.
Yeah. You would also have had a build up to something about computer caching, exactly. And then for no reason the memo walks in and he's like, "I'm drawing a blank."
Stop it, I can't rip this fast.
Dave, just so long as everyone else in the panel that's reacting just becomes feet flying off the panel.
just sweat bubbles
sweat drops,
flying in.
Yeah,
got sweatles. Did you guys ever see the what's the guy? The guy that draws Beetle Bailey. He wrote this book about all these terms for comics. Did you ever see this?
No.
I've heard it referenced, yeah, but I've never seen it.
He used to call those sweatles, and I don't know why that's got stuck in my mind.
Sweatles.
Little sweat drops, but little sweatles. I thought that was funny. Hey, let's start recording. This is good stuff.
Oh, we're recording. All this is committed.
Yeah,
this
is in medias res here.
Oh, right, here we go.
Mark Breather did a whole Sunday strip about that Mark Walker book. Do you remember? Sweatles,
yes.
And zipples, and there, he did a whole riff on it. It was brilliant.
Zipples and booze.
Is it breathed or is it breathed?
Did
I say
breathed?
I think
it's breathed.
I think it's breathed. I think I said it wrong.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Let's tape over that part.
Well, speaking of saying our names wrong, let's get started on the intro, shall we, gents?
Oh, awesome. Okay, cue music and music, Webcomics Weekly.
Who are you?
I don't know. We're all here. We're all here.
I know.
Like some magical mystery tour, all four of us gathered together.
This is incredible.
And it only took about 24 emails and 14 phone calls, but we did it.
When did our lives get so complicated?
Everybody should know that it's actually 3:43 a.m. here. And this is the only time that we could all get together and do this.
future Brad actually had to join us from 10 years hence.
That's right. Using his Legion of Superheroes ring to fly backwards in the future. I can tell you when my life got complicated, when my two sons got social lives that were more fulfilling than mine. I don't actually go and do anything. I take my kids to go do things.
You should tag along. Ask them if they'll let you hang out.
I don't make a very good wingman for a six-year-old. That's the only problem.
People frown on
that. Hey, come on on our tails. Cut that part out.
Gosh, one of these days I'll release the episode of Webcomics Weekly that's everything that was ever cut out. I should have kept
and yet,
all that.
The entire
400 hours of tape.
Yeah, the here's what the listener sounds like when they're listening to it. Oh,
inappropriate. Oh, Brad. Oh,
so much disappointing.
Brad, I don't think the word Brad would be uttered much. I think it would be like, Scott.
Scott, what are you thinking?
Oh man. Anyway, Webcomics Weekly. Who's all here? Since it's been a while, let's reintroduce ourselves. I'll start with me since I'm me.
Since you're you, yes.
Since I'm me.
I'm Scott Kurtz. I draw PvP. You can find my strip at pvponline.com.
And since I'm not you,
there we go. Already stepping on each other. You go ahead, Brad.
And since I'm not you, I'll introduce myself. I'm Brad Geiger. I do Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com.
And since I like to step on toes, I'm Dave Kellett. I do Sheldon at sheldoncomics.com.
And since I wish I was Dave, I'll introduce myself as Chris Straub, and I do Starslip Crisis at starslip.com, fcords at fcords.com, and Chainsaw Suit at chainsawsuit.com.
Goodness gracious.
My goodness. And CNN.com and ESPN.com.
Yes, and I write for goodhousekeeping.com as well.
And we have a special bit of interest this week. All month long, Webcomics Weekly is going to be brought to you by Indicia, Indicia.com. And we've got a special URL to mention, which is Indicia.com/webcomics. Indicia is going to be sponsoring the podcast, and they put together a special introductory pack for Indicia new users who are Webcomics Weekly listeners at Indicia.com/webcomics.
Really?
And they did. Check it out real quick.
Chris, come on.
No. I'm not like, really? How much is it? No, I'm seriously
we talked
like
for an hour and a half before the show about this, and you seem like you're just now talking about it.
Well, I just jumped in.
Oh. Are you trying to? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were really confused, and I thought maybe we should get you to a doctor.
guys, what is Indicia?
Okay, listen. Seriously, though, I will tell you what Indicia is, but we talked about this for like an hour and a half. You should go to a doctor. You should see a neurologist. But anyway, Indicia is a lifesaver for anyone in the serious business of being funny, like us in webcomics.
That's good. Let's keep that.
Yeah, if you're serious about being funny, you need Indicia. I just wrote that. That's how good I am.
That's how.
I mean, does anyone here not use Indicia?
I don't, but I have been planning on taking it up since I started doing my own shipping and stuff. So it's something. What you guys are going to say, I'm going to be listening intently to.
Cool. So you're our target audience for this sponsor.
Yeah, Brad, you are the one that by week number four, Brad, if you're not signed up, we're
we failed.
Well, go ahead and tell me what it is I need to know about this, because so far I know it's
okay.
It's
so you have a webcomic and you want to make some money and you want to sell merchandise, right? Like you want to sell books, right? And you want to sell T-shirts. You want to get those to your readers.
It's what we do.
Right. And you're going to need postage for that. You're going to need to find some way to mail it. You want to set up a system to do that. And let me tell you something. Especially if you start getting a lot of orders, run down to the post office to buy a bunch of stamps in the hopes that you buy enough and the right quantities and the right combinations to put postage on all your packages that are going out to people, dealing with confirmation deliveries, all kinds of stuff. It's a pain. But
a huge pain.
I'm doing it even dumber than that. I'm going down with an armload full of parcels and taking them up to the window, putting them in that little bulletproof cage, and then standing there for 10 minutes while the very nice postal employees work at mock postal employee speed to assess my packages. That's somewhere between turtle and death.
Brad,
turtle and death, you guys are leaving me hanging around to this thing.
No, Brad, like, I think
Brad walks up at the counter and someone comes forward and in over the loudspeaker you hear. And Brad's like, oh, ready.
Don't have Zealand here. Nope.
Brad, seriously, you are taking stuff to the post office?
I'm telling you, and you know what? My package I have been shipping out, especially, well, we'll come around full.
So what you would do with
I have been shipping out a lot of packages thanks to this thing that I did, that I took a leaf from Dave's book. But I, like, just this last couple of months, I've been shipping out an amazing amount of stuff, and I have to take a day where, and usually it's with my 2-year-old in tow, and push all this stuff in on the back of the stroller, put it in there, and it's a nightmare. It really, I mean, it's driving me nuts.
Brad, I hate to use this word, Brad, but I'm going to use the word chump. Brad, you're a chump.
I was gonna be a lot more polite, Brad, and you're clearly the before guy. You're the guy in the kitchen, and the pans are everywhere, and you're flipping them in the air, and you're so frustrated.
There's got to be a better way.
Can I say something without you guys thinking that it's a setup, and I'm doing it because these guys are our sponsors and stuff? I'm speaking solely from the heart here. I'm scared to death of it. I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to figure it out. I'm scared that it's not going to work on my Mac. I'm scared that it's going to be confusing. And
whoa! You're scared of Indicia? You're scared of your post office trips?
Well, no, I'm not scared of my post office. I just at the post office, I know how to do the only
okay, so
thing.
Here's what you do, Brad. All right, you go to Indicia.
All right.
.com/webcomics. All right, you click a button and you sign up for it. What is it? $15 a month? We should know this before we start recording.
I think it is.
It's $15 a month, but trust me.
But Scott, that sign-up deal that they've put together for Webcomics Weekly listeners is actually less, I think, for the first 7 months. So.
Come on, seriously?
Why didn't I do that?
Why didn't we sign up?
It's actually a better deal than what we signed
now
up.
Now who's the chump? Now who's the chump?
Because Brad, you waited.
All right, so listen, Brad, I'm going to tell you exactly what you do. All right? I'm cutting that part out.
Scott, tell me what to do.
All right, what you do is it's real simple, Brad. You go to Indicia, and you sign up for a starter kit, okay? And what you get is you get a label printer, get a USB scale, and you get the Indicia subscription service. Okay. And that part, the last part, is what saves my butt all the time, okay? So you get all this stuff. It comes to you. It plugs right into your Mac. It plugs right into your PC. It's all USB. Oh, yes, it is very Mac compatible. In fact, I personally have tried both. I prefer the Mac product.
Yeah, then, me too, actually.
But then, you know, I'm a Mac nerd.
Like years ago, I started thinking about this, and I went – it was a different place, and it looked like a pretty good system, but it wasn't Mac compatible.
No, it's completely Mac compatible now.
Yeah. Ooh.
And in fact, honestly, not to upset Indicia, but I personally prefer the Mac version. I've seen both. So you plug in, it's real simple, believe me, because I have it on, and really, it does not take up a lot of processing power. I've got an old Mac Mini here, one of the old Power PC Mac Minis, and Indicia runs on it like a dream. So you literally plug in two USB devices, and you sign up for the service, and you're done. So what you do is, you get your package, someone orders a book and a t-shirt, you put it in a box, you seal up your box, and you put the box on the scale, and Indicia says, all right, this thing weighs 16 ounces. Where's it going? You type in the address, and it goes to the internet, it goes to the U.S. Postal Service, and it checks to make sure that's a valid address.
Which is a big deal, by the way.
Yes, and if it's not, it corrects it. Like it says, hey, you know, you got the area code wrong, or actually, you know, blah, blah, blah. It will not let you send a package unless the address is valid. So it saves you money right there. You can even tell it to, you can pay a little extra to have it do a little delivery confirmation on you so you can track the package. And then that's it. It says postage based on this package sent the way that you want it to. You can choose media mail. You can choose any of the available methods by which to send something via the post office. And then you choose which way you want to send it. And it says it'll cost you this much. You say, sounds good. Click print. Your label prints out the postage. You stick on the package. You're done.
Now, wait a minute. The label printer, do you have to go and get that like at Staples or something?
No,
or do they
send it to you?
So you don't have to worry about getting the right kind of equipment. They send it right to you.
If you have your own label printer, you can use that. You don't have
you can,
to.
You can print from your home printer, too, if you want.
You can print from your home printer if you want to. But what I found is the label printer is really convenient because you can buy labels that are a three-part label. So it'll print the return address, the to address, and then a delivery confirmation scan barcode.
Mm-hmm.
And it just prints it out, and you just, you know, peel the different labels off. But if you want to, you can print it out on your regular printer. I'm just telling you what your options are.
So and now, Brad, let's say you got this package, and it's all stickered up with stamps and addresses, all this stuff. Now what do you do? I mean, as stupid as that sounds, what do you do next?
This is the part, Brad, why I'm calling you a chump, because I'm the guy passing you in line at the post office and literally just leaving it on the counter and walking right back out and getting myself a Starbucks.
No, come on. Are you?
No.
This is not a put on. You don't. You got to wait in line.
No.
You put them in the bin. You put them in the bin that the post office. You know those corrugated plastic bins that they have.
Hold on a second. Just stop for a second, Brad.
What?
Are you seriously asking us, or are you doing like a pitch thing? Are you like,
guys? I was where Brad was. I had to ask the guy at the counter, like, can I just? Do I need to stand in the line? And they're like, no. Are they all stamped? Yeah. Are the international, do they have customs form on it? Yeah, because in D.C. it does that. Then leave them here, and we'll take them back. I don't stand in the line. I had to ask him. I felt uncomfortable. I've got 30 packages. I'm going to just leave them here with the clerk and not wait and have you look at each one? No, they don't care. It's fine.
Brad, I kid you not when I say, if you have figured out in a system that works for you, the U.S. Postal System, and you're doing that with your shipping, it'll take you a half an hour to get up and going on the Adesia system. And then, honest to God, it will change your life as far as time spent on this stuff.
Hey, Brad, you want to hear the best part?
You turn around and you walk out the door. You're not worried about somebody like walking away with them or something?
You don't just leave them at the doorstep. You're not dropping off a kid that you hope the church adopts. You hand
Brad
them to a person.
Brad, just a reminder too. It's a massive federal crime for anyone to take a package from the postal service.
I could see Brad going to the post office. He goes, "Well, I guess this will work," and he just flukes over into the handicap space and pats the bottom,
also,
and then gets back
in
the car.
I love that Brad thinks that leaving a package at the post office is like take a penny, leave a penny. He's like, "Well, I dropped off a package. I'm going to take a package too." You know, he's like, "Oh, this one's bigger. I'll take this one."
I can see Brad just driving by. His car never even stops. It just slows down to about 15. He just throws the packages out.
And then a courteous honk and a wave.
Hey, Brad, here's the best part, okay? Guess how many packages I sent out last month?
How much? It has to be hundreds.
It's in the hundreds, right? Guess how many times I went to the post office?
Oh, God, you're going to kill me. How many?
Zero.
Wait, now.
This has nothing to do with.
How did you do that?
Okay. This has nothing to do with Indicia. This is the United States Postal Service. But since Indicia allows me to have completely posted packages, all the postage, all the necessary info, you can schedule a pickup with the post office once a week.
Yeah, and I think they require over a certain weight.
And say, you can call
it depends on where you live. Like when I lived in Little Elm and nobody came to Little Elm, when it was like Little House on the Prairie, there wasn't a – but for you where you live, yes, all you have to do is you can go to their website, schedule a pickup. You tell them how many packages you have, if it's a residence or a business, and between what hours, and they will just come pick it up.
On their website, USPS.com.
Yeah,
and I think Chris is right. There's only a prescription that some of them be priority mail, I think, and that I think that's
or yeah. Another requirement is if any of them are international.
Yeah, you just need one, and of all the 70 packages you're mailing, if one of them is international, they will come and get all of them.
But Brad, here's I'm going to tell you where Indicia saves me so much trouble, because like 30% of my purchases are from overseas, you know, for Sheldon. And I don't know if you've had to deal with the customs forms at the post office yet, but
yes, all the time.
I don't know. I think the postal service was designed a system on top of a system on top of a system, because it's the most cumbersome system with customs forms. And like you go up with one form and they're like, "Oh wait, no, this package actually has rounded corners. You're going to need form 29OB." And then you bring up 29OB and they're like, "Oh, but it weighs 2 pounds. You're also going to need form X92." And you're like, "What the heck?" And the amazing thing about Indicia, when it comes to military packages or overseas packages or packages for weird types of post boxes around the world, Indicia is like, "Oh, hey, I noticed you're sending to Belgium. You're also going to need this customs form." Or, "Oh, hey, your packages is worth over $100 or is over 20 pounds. You're going to need this customs form too." And it prints it up for you as soon as you click print postage. And
yeah, and you can set it up. Like I have mine set up. I told Indicia for custom labels, print to my normal printer, but for domestic, print to my Dymo.
The label writer, yeah.
Yeah. And so like when there's a customs form that's going to print out, I have went down to Office Depot and bought those giant half sheets, like where there's two giant half sheet stickers per piece of paper. Yeah. And when I'm doing shipping, I just have that in my printer. And if there's a customs form, it just goes, customs form is printed out.
Wow. Well, you know what? Even better than that, not to get too detailed on it, but the U.S. Postal Service provides for free this pre-stickered plastic sleeve. And Scott, you can actually print on 8.5 by 11 paper, fold it over, just put it in the sleeve for free. So you've spent no money on additional expensive kind of paper.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna start doing that based on what Dave said, because I didn't know. I'm still buying the label paper.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because that label paper is like 2 to 5 cents a unit, and that adds up if you're sending out, you know, a couple hundred of those.
You know what's so exciting about this sponsorship is that, and I don't know how often we'll get to do this in the future, so let's savor it. Like, we approached Indicia because we use them and like them. So, like, we approached the sponsor, and so we're totally not forcing this. Like, we really mean all of this.
Well, no, before we even got them to sponsor the show, which is very kind of them, we wrote about them in the book as being like an essential part of the way we do our business.
I'm kind of upset because the offer they're giving is cheaper than what I paid.
Now, wait a minute, because I'm the only one who's not using this. What's the website I've got to go to get this offer? Because I'm not.
Okay, you go to Indicia.com/webcomic.
That's real easy to remember.
And basically what that includes is that includes the Dymo printer label, which I'm looking at. It's the exact same one I have in my shipping center. It has an integrated USB postal scale, and it has, how many months of service here?
Seven.
Yeah, there it is. It's seven.
Seven months of Indicia. My goodness.
It's a nicer scale than I have, and it's 7 months of Indicia.
Hey, and can I tell you something else?
Whoa. And it also includes labels.
Yeah, and you know what else? Take a look at the Dymo in the picture up there. Is that Indicia stamped there? I don't get
nice.
That.
Oh, wait, let me look at my printer label. Hold on.
Mine says Dymo.
Oh, mine says Dymo, too.
No, look at that. They branded it Indicia. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's like the new iPod, and I don't have it. I'm mad.
A new logo on it. I'm buying one.
With every passing moment, I can tell you I'm feeling less and less the chump.
Well, yeah, and the nice thing is we have four more weeks because we have not even scratched the surface of all the stuff you can do.
Yeah, we're talking about it a lot this show because we're excited about it. But, Brad, I mean, you know, like, considering what – just trust me, the amount of money you're going to save and the amount of time you're going to save is just so worth it.
Time is the big one. You will literally save over the course of a month hours and hours of time with this system. So
cool.
So all right, let's move on to the mailbag, gents. Now that we got all four of us on the show. And by the way, I was so happy to have missed last week's show. Oh, I could not tell you how happy I was to have missed it.
Why?
Well, yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys noticed, but the chapter on criticism that Carlson had criticized. It was actually the part that I had wrote, and the basic idea was that you need to either deflect, kill with kindness, or ignore critics, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had noticed, but I had completely ignored, placated with kindness, and deflected that criticism, because I think it's a huge and I'm going to be serious about this. I thought it was a huge waste of time to even address it, because I considered her to be the same scale, type, and personality is the individual reader response.
Listen, I smelled that bait, and I thought, that smells delicious. I've got the taste of it.
Because I saw your blog post, and then I heard the show, and I was like, no, you guys didn't read the chapter. Oh, God, you're responding to it.
In fairness, I did not read your chapter.
Wait, Dave, you wrote the chapter in there? There's a...
You know what? Can I take this on a tangent? I read a chapter that Dave wrote, surprisingly enough, and he said when you've got something to sell, it's good to have an upper level, a medium level, and a lower level thing that you can offer on your store. Now, I've had books and original art for a long time, but I never had that lower level. And I offered some buttons around the time that I was going to San Diego. And on Dave's advice in the book, After I premiered them at the convention, I offered them on the website. And there are three buttons. You can buy them for $1 a piece. You can buy all three for $3. And what I said was, if you order within the next 7 days anything from the store, I'll throw in 3 buttons for free. Do you want to know how much my sales went up because of 3 buttons?
I want to know.
And not only that, but not only were they buying books where they hadn't been buying books before, but since they were getting these 3 buttons for free, they were buying artist edition books, or they were buying multiple books. 53% of my orders were multiple books. 50% of the orders, and there is some crossovers, which is why I can have 53 and 50. 50% were artist edition books. And that means that there was a good amount in there that were multiple books, one of or more of which was an artist edition. Do you know what they did for my sales over 1 week offering 3 free buttons? It was an incredible eye-opener to me, something that Dave's been saying all along.
I'm so glad that worked for you, Brad.
But what
That's
does
awesome.
That have to do with all critics sucking?
Oh, no, I took that on a tangent from chapters that Dave has written.
Oh, I see.
I know, because you want to ask critics to button it.
You know what? You know what, Chris? You're going to see that in tomorrow's Evil League, that joke right there.
As soon as I can figure out a way.
I was going to say, it's a really long walk. It's a really long walk for that one.
Hey, it's memos.
Came right, up to the, it came right up to the clean tag there, and then I decided to back away.
Oh, Indicia. Anyway.
Did we have a question or no?
We've got lots of them. I'm going to start just off the top of the pile here, and then we'll work our way down, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
This guy, Alan Evans, who does RivalAngels.com, he says, next month I'll be attending a broadcast of WWE's Friday Night SmackDown. It's professional.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
And it just, you have our condolences. It just so happens that I have a pro wrestling comic. Usually the venue tips at about 13,000 people, and I thought this would be a huge opportunity to expand my readerships. The best thing that comes to mind is that after the show, I stand by the exits and hand out postcards. I could do a 4-page mini comic, but for the money, I'm thinking postcards would get the message out just as well. The question is, can I do more? I figure I could accidentally leave a few postcards at the venue, concessions, bathrooms, etc., but I wouldn't want to push it for fear of some legal violation towards littering or something. What can I do?
First thing is, yeah, leave them in the bathroom, because whenever I see free stuff in the John, I screw that up.
What's
this?
Coupon
for a hot dog. I'll take it.
Did anyone notice that happened a lot at Comic-Con? There were people had shoved postcards all over and around the toilets.
Well, you know what, though? I actually think it's a good idea to tack it in front of the urinal. I don't, you know.
Well, they kind of just dropped them behind it. But did anyone else but me see that? Like, every time I went to the bathroom, there was more postcards in there.
I just thought that it was because that's where people just toss them.
No, people were going in there and hoping you would.
And here's
see it reach while down. You're making your tinkles.
Remember what it was that was being advertised?
No.
Comics.
That's my point.
That's as deep as it gets.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I guess my first bit of advice for this guy is be very, very careful about this check. You might, I don't know, especially the wrestling thing. He could get in big trouble because, you know, there's people who actually pay a lot of money to have things given away at those events.
Right.
So if he is just sitting in there handing stuff to people as they walk past on the premises or dropping things in places, I don't know. Don't you guys think that he could get in trouble for that?
I didn't think about that, but
there's entire business models now, at least in LA, of these postcards that are in these special sort of containers in men's bathrooms. I don't know if you guys have seen these in Texas and Philly, but yeah, Scott, you're right. I mean, people pay big money for the right to market to a certain type of audience, you know. And I can imagine at a wrestling convention, you're going to have Chevy and you're going to have Budweiser and you're going to have, you know, all sorts of companies that appeal to that demographic that are going to be, you know, shelling out tens, if not hundred thousands of dollars to reach those tens of thousands of people. And
well, you know, I had a similar situation to this guy with BlizzCon. BlizzCon is the big convention that Blizzard Entertainment throws every year to promote World of Warcraft. And they had me out as a guest 1 year. And because someone kind of canceled on them, they gave me an opportunity to put something in the goodie bag that you got when you went to BlizzCon. You know, so everyone waiting in line, everyone that got a bag just for entering the show would get a PvP comic in the bag. It was a huge opportunity. But there was a lot that went into it. I mean, they had to review the piece. They had to make sure it was okay to put in the bag. I had to make sure I had a certain number so that every bag got one, because it couldn't be that just some bags got them and other bags didn't. It was right. It was a pretty big rigmarole. And, you know, most conventions or events have freebie tables where anyone can just walk up and put stuff. But, you know, short of that, where you know that's there, you really need to be careful. Now, outside of the event, when you're on public property,
exactly.
I don't know if that's as much of an issue, but
I think I got to figure if you're outside the venue.
Yeah, I got to figure if you're outside the venue, you can do just about anything out on the sidewalk. You can leaflet. You know what? I have a real problem with just leaving something sitting somewhere.
I do, actually.
Like Chris said, number one, it's got a real devaluation. And number two, I don't know if anybody's going to pick it up and take it very seriously.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, is where do you leave it exactly? You know, like concessions, they're going to probably just toss it in the bathroom.
Right.
I don't think
as soon as your back is turned.
And that's funny, because when he asked this question, I thought, well, that's a good idea. You know, it's a good idea because you're not, you're pitching to an audience that goes, hey, a wrestling comic, if this is the only one, you know. So at first I thought, this is, you know, how could you go wrong?
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, I think a postcard is fine to answer his actual question. I think a postcard is fine. I think what you need on that postcard is a punchline, something they can read in the 10 seconds they hand it, decide if they're going to toss it or not. And if it makes them chuckle, they might put it in their pocket. But I really think that you need to be really seriously considering. You know, I've never been to a wrestling. Thankfully, I've never been to a wrestling event. So I don't know what that was a dig right there. Everybody missed that. That was a dig on wrestling.
I heard it.
But I don't really know what those events are like. It might be a situation where, yeah, I mean, Scott, you don't realize it, but a lot of people hand out stuff and they don't care. But if it's like any other event I've ever been to that's kind of a major sporting event or public event like that, you need to be careful.
Well, here's a question for you guys from an audience perspective. Like at San Diego or at certain kind of Comic-Cons, I know if I'm walking the aisles, I sort of expect to be handed things. So my brain is kind of prepared for it. But can you think of a time in your life, in your daily life, or you're out, you know, your social life, where you're out and about and you don't mind being ticketed or picketed or pamphleted when you weren't expecting it? I mean, I never want to take that thing that's being handed to me.
I guess you're right. It's harder outside of a convention.
I mean, I always think of those guys in Vegas with the postcards going.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't want it.
Even if it's something that you're interested in, like you said, like going around San Diego and you know you're into comics and a guy hands you a flyer about a comic, you know.
Even there at the con, you're not interested. And you're there for comics. You're there to find new stuff. When somebody hands you a pamphlet, and you're like, what is this?
Right.
Unless you're walking past the table, if you're walking up and down Artist Alley, you know that that's part of it. You know, but if you're just walking and somebody walks up to you and hands you a pamphlet, that's a different thing.
Yeah, and I say that as a guy whose big part of his convention business model is to give out flyers. Is that you know, even then I know that a huge percentage of people, those are going right in the trash. So at an event where people aren't expecting it, I don't know that your, what would you call it, a conversion rate, I suppose. I don't know that your conversion rate is going to be really high on that.
This guy's best bet, okay, and it's not going to happen at a WWE. It's not going to happen at the big boys. This guy's best bet is to find himself some smaller, more intimate wrestling events, local events, where he can
backyard
talk.
Wrestling.
No, not backyard wrestling.
how about backyard wrestling?
With such disgust, too. No, not backyard wrestling.
I've been to that. Chris, it doesn't work.
Yeah. where he can
give PvP a second look out there, though.
he actually has a chance to talk with the promoters. And give his media to them as a part of the show as an official giveaway, either on their freebie table or as something that you get, maybe even in the program. You know, if you show them a really funny wrestling joke, that might be something they want to put in their program. I've done that for comic book programs in the past.
That's so, actually true. Yeah. That's a great idea, Scott.
I think he's better off, I mean, as far as his success rate, I think he's far better off doing that with smaller conventions and then getting noticed. And who knows, you know, you might end up eventually having a comic strip in the WWE events programs or giveaway goodie bags. But I think you're going to get really mixed to bad results just showing up at a popular. I mean, you know, I mean, imagine standing outside of a Billy Joel concert and trying to hand out anything. I mean, you're going to compete with the guy next to you trying to hand out a pamphlet to talking about how the aliens are coming, you know?
Right. And with people that want to sell you a Billy Joel t-shirt, which people are going to be much more interested in.
And I imagine, too, at a WWE event, this is a big supposition on my part, but I'm guessing there's beer involved. And I'm imagining if you're standing out on the way out, you're not getting people at their best. You're not seeing America at its finest moment at that point.
Yeah, but you might be getting people who are more willing to take something you give them.
And just to wipe your...
That's true.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Now, let me ask a question, because this is... all three of you zigged when I expected you to zag. Postcard versus a mini comic. You guys would go with the postcard in a situation like that?
Postcard, yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You wouldn't go with the sample of your work?
You would.
Well, no, the postcard would have the sample.
It wouldn't be just like a title on a URL. It would have to have something humorous on there to give them a little flavor.
Yeah.
But I think that a couple of strips is too much to read.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Listen, if you get something in a goodie bag, if you actually get something in a goodie bag, yes, a whole comic. A whole mini comic, absolutely. Because they'll read it while they're standing in line. We saw that at BlizzCon. But if you're just handing someone something as they're walking past or you're putting something on a free table, just something quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right. And you're right, by the way. I as long as we're on that subject, we've heard that before. It's like, oh, I'll do something and just let, you know, submit it to the convention so they can put it in their goodie bag. That costs money. I know at New York Comic Con, I forget whether it was like – it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,000, if not $2,000, just to get your thing submitted for the goodie bag. Don't take me to task on that. I may be way wrong because I get numbers wrong a lot. But it was a significant amount of money, and that's not including what you're putting into printing, delivery, and all that kind of good stuff. It's not free to get something placed in the goodie bag.
No, I think Scott hit on something when he said, you know, get yourself involved for free with a smaller event. And I would also say, you know, I'm assuming the niche comic strips that I know of that have succeeded, like Unshelved with librarians or PhD with grad students, I mean, they still, physical appearances aside, the moneymaker in terms of audience growing is still online. So I would say there's got to be a forum somewhere where people are talking about, you know, the Iron Sheik and Jimmy Superfly Snuka and Junkyard Dog. Look at me dating myself, by the way.
Well, somebody spent a lot of time in front of the tube in the 80s, didn't they?
Listen to whoever asked this question. Whatever did Dave's about to say, he's not really answering your question. The whole purpose of this answer is just to show his retarded 1980s wrestling knowledge.
But I love how the last...
He is the Leaping Lenny Poffo of our group.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, sorry, Buff Bagwell. Go ahead and finish your...
Well, listen, as my good friend, if I could just drop a name for a minute, as my good friend George the Animal Steel used to say... I love that, too. I literally do not know a wrestler from, like, 1991 on. I don't even know if...
Well,
I
think that's something to be proud of, isn't it?
What's the other one? And then Chris just goes, Dr. Lou Albano.
Yeah, I just quietly am biding my time because I only know post-90s wrestlers.
Well, are we ready to go to the next question?
Let's go to the next. Yes, let's do it.
Dave, did you have one over there in front of you?
I had one that I thought was kind of interesting because I think this we can all sort of relate to this. I always wanted to start a second comic, and you and Chris on your 19th comic might relate to it as well. It says, hello, Webcomics Weekly gang. I have been making webcomics as a hobby for a few years now, and I eventually want to try to do it professionally. Try being the key word here. I realize that life doesn't always go the way you plan, so I'm currently attending college so that I have something to support myself with. If it doesn't work out, that's very good, very smart. Currently, I'm unable to commit to a regular update schedule because of my school and my work, making them the biggest obstacle preventing me from trying to do the comic professionally. Am I doing myself and my, quote, big comic idea an injustice by trying to build a readership and community that may not stick around waiting for me to update? Would it be better for me to hold on or to work on a temporary comic during college and hold on to the, quote, big comic idea until I can commit to a schedule? Or should I go ahead with the big comic idea, build up the archive, and hope for the best when I attempt to make the shift to professional? Thanks for
That's
your time,
a good
Drew Larson.
Question.
Right? I thought that was a great one. And it's actually relatable to people at a lot of different levels, I think.
And who wrote
yeah,
that?
Yeah, because on the one hand, you know, we've always said, you know, there's no time like the present. Yeah, you're not, but that's mostly for people who are scared that when they put their work out, it's not going to be good enough. So we say, just put it out there and start growing right now. But right. Then on the other hand, if it's something that he's going to be doing intermittently, do you only get one chance to make a first impression? And if you don't update for 2 weeks and that audience goes, ah, forget it, will they not come back? You know, that's a tough right. question.
Yeah.
Well, can I play the curmudgeon here and question the premise? This guy's in college, and I understand if he's going to college and he's working and all that other stuff, it's pretty tight, but... I still think that leaves plenty of time for a regularly updating comic, don't you?
Knowing what I know now, yes. But at the time, I thought
question?
I was.
No, I see where you're going, Brad. I mean,
is this a question of time management?
Possibly. Well, we can address that separately, but I think it's actually worth mentioning to people in college that. Because we've all have been there in that time of our life where we thought, wow, I am busy. Ha ha, I have no time at all. Xbox. beer, party, time at the library where I'm not doing anything. Xbox. I remember from my comics years that I thought that I was, or my college years, that I thought that I was immensely busy and I was really getting stuff done in this limited time that I had. Well, I was also probably sleeping 12 hours a day and then hanging out with buddies. And, you know, there's a time in your life where you have a few less responsibilities. And I recognize, Drew, that you have a job, and I respect that as you're working your way through college. But I will, as a new dad, let me guarantee you that as life goes on and the bills get bigger and the kids start to happen, you will actually find time getting less and less. And Brad with two kids can definitely back me up on that. So it may be a question of time management, but I think, Brad, to benefit his question, we should probably assume that he really is making the best use of his time and to address his question internally. You know what I mean? Like, is it worth holding on to the idea, or is it worth developing it slowly, or what's the best way to go?
Well, if you, I think it comes down to this. If you cannot hit a regularly updating schedule, then you owe it to yourself to hold on to that stuff, build up a buffer, even if it means that you end up with a buffer of several months. Or even maybe a year. And then when you are able to see your way clear that you will be able to update several times a week with consistency, you've got that buffer, you know, and you go back. You've got the ability to, with a very, very clean slate, look at that old work and maybe snap up those punchlines a little bit, do a little spit polish on them. And the stuff that you're going to have is going to be that much better.
This is where I show my age, because I have no idea what it is like to be in college right now. I only know what it was like to be in college in 1989 through 1992. So,
I don't know if they had colleges back then per se. what we today consider.
Well, I think the king sort of had educated scribes, right? Wasn't that what the?
Well, yes.
That's awesome. This is just like our backyard wrestling tangent. So I'm just going to put that. One of the things that I did in college was I spent too much time working on my comics. I did the opposite of this guy. In other words, I said, screw my classes. This is what I want to do. All I did was draw comics, and my studies suffered for it. So what I would suggest to this guy, and this is where I think people are going to laugh at me, is
don't worry so much about making your webcomic in college. I would actually participate in making comics for your school newspaper. Do they even still have those?
Yes, yes. That's okay. a great idea. And so that's what I did.
What you need to do is get involved, because that way what you're doing is you're making your comic work a part of your college experience. And not only that, you'll get an opportunity to see what it's like to be a part of a newspaper, you know, the editorial machine, the newspaper. And, you know, these days, most colleges might have an online version, so you might be able to make a webcomic for your university. But try to do it so that the comics that you're doing in college are a part of your college experience. I mean, I think it's an important part of it. I know that my college strip did not end up being the strip that was my living, directly, you know, I mean, obviously the subject and the strip itself, but all of the things I learned doing the comic strip for my school paper and in college are a part of PvP. So,
I think, yeah, I mean, it's tricky because I definitely say go with try and get into your college paper, because that was the first thing I ever did where I had to do comics regularly. However, I would say, get ready to not have it be the comic you want to do, because I started doing Checkerboard Nightmare for the Bruin at UCLA, and I said, all right, I got great ideas. It's the guy who wants to be famous and all on. And they said, that is good, but we have plenty of multi-panel strips. So could you please make it a gag strip, a one panel? And, you're going to be drawing, in a 3x3 inch square. So that it changed the dynamic a little bit. I'm not really happy with them. And they did have a website, and they put them on the
but
website.
But you know, the key to my success was I can reverse engineer it down to one important point, and it was I did not have the option to not just put a strip up. In other words, before MPOG paid me to create PvP for their website, all I did with comics was post-college was try to complete one finished syndicate submission package of 25 strips that I was happy with, and I never accomplished it because I never pulled the trigger. I worked on it and drew it and then changed my mind and then decided, okay, now I figured out how I like drawing this guy, so I'm going to start over. And then I started them all over, and then I had another idea, so I scrapped it, and nothing ever got done. But with PvP, it was, you don't have time to make it perfect. You know, he needs something for Monday. You get to own this. All he wants is, you know, the rights to print it on his website, and he's going to pay you real money. You don't have time. Get something done. Just get it up. And it wasn't until I had that forced me to do it that I actually developed a strip, because you had no choice. It was up, and what it was is what it was. You didn't have time to second guess yourself, and your editing process was in process. You know, I'm sure there's a fancy Latin term for that, but you're kind of going on the fly. You're developing on the fly. And, you know, that was what my dad used to always criticize me about. The reason why I never learned how to paint was every time I started, I would just freeze. And he would say, you have to be brave enough to know that your first strokes are never going to be perfect. You know, your first paintings are going to stink. Mm. But I never learned how to paint because of it. I would just lock up in front of the canvas. So,
the first thing you want to do is get that awkward first work into the college newspaper, where all of your peers and prospective dates will be able to see it.
I like how you brought prospective dates into it. Like there's some person out there like, ooh, a cartoonist.
Yeah, no, that's the thing you want to not say when you're. Oh, I don't do that. That guy must be a freshman with my name.
Perhaps you're familiar with the water polo team. Yeah, well, I'm
that's me.
So am I.
No, I think Scott, that's very wise advice that your dad gave. I actually wonder about this from let's talk about this from someone further on, because you guys have all started a second strip, and actually no, all of you have done third strips and some of you fourth strips now. What am I doing wrong in my mindset that I can't either find the time or commit to either dribbling out or slowly, slowly developing a second strip? What's my solution, do you guys think, for someone at my level?
It depends on the second strip that you want to do, because I think you could take on a weekly pretty easily, even with your workload. You might even be able to do a 3-day a week, potentially, depending on what it is. I mean, if it's as complex as Sheldon's art, especially, I don't know that you could find the time to do it, but maybe you just need to put the hammer down.
What else is it? Wait. There's something I could almost put my finger on. Oh, right, the baby. It's the baby,
Don't make excuses for him.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, Dave, I think what it means is that Sheldon is providing you all the fulfillment that you need right now. And maybe it'll change in the future, but eventually you're going to come to a point where you say, I have another itch I want to scratch, either creatively, or you'll get to the point where I got, where when I was fastly approaching 10 years, I thought to myself, is this it? You know, am I just a one-trick pony? Is PvP all I do? And, you know, big impetus for me to try new things was being afraid that, you know, 10 years is approaching. How much more time will people be interested in PvP? Or, you know, like if you look ahead at people, at creators that have been around for a while, like you take Sergio, who did Gru, and you take Usagi Yojimbo, you know, Stan Sakai. These guys have been doing the same property for 10, 15 years. Jeff Smith with Bone. You hit a plateau where you get all the new readers you're ever going to get, and then that property sustains itself pretty much indefinitely at the level that it sticks at based on its hardcore fans. And then any opportunity for you know, new readers or new monies or new revenue streams come from outside projects. So that could be another motivation, and you probably just haven't gotten there yet. When I did Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Aaron, it was because I got really inspired to do that kind of stuff, and I wanted to see if I could tackle something that wasn't PvP because I was getting itchy that 10 years was approaching. But now, like, I'm working on a new project with my little brother because, you know, in the last year and a half, especially since Michael Ringo died, he and I have become a lot closer and have kind of been like, wow, you know, we live so near each other and we've always been really good friends. We're not spending enough time together. You know, life is short. But it's kind of invigorated us to try to create something together as a comic. And he and I are working on an idea together that, you know, but what I'm saying is right now you might be finding that all of your creative motivations are being fulfilled by Sheldon, and you don't have any economical or social motivations pushing you to do something new. I don't think you should feel bad about it, is what I'm trying to say.
You put that in a slightly different way. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, that's interesting to hear you say that, to put that to words, because maybe that's, I just hadn't codified that in my mind, but maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's because I'm sated with Sheldon, or, you know, content is probably a better word, that, because you're right. Actually, right now I'm actually feeling like I'm hitting it better than I have in years. And maybe you're right. Maybe because it's like those friends, whenever you give relationship advice or business advice and you're like, look, when you want to make the change, you'll make the change. It's just you're not ready to make the change yet. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just not ready to do a second strip yet. That might very well be it.
Brad, how much do we hate our work then that we're doing? That we have to do this many?
I was going to address that because another way of looking at that is that and tell me if I'm kind of close to where your brain is at on this, Chris, okay. And that is you don't go looking for inspiration to do a second strip. All of a sudden, you have the inspiration and you look for time to do that second strip. In other words, you don't set out so much to do, okay, I'm going to do a second strip. Now, what's it going to be? It's going to be all of a sudden, boom, holy cats, this is my second strip. Now I've got to figure out a way to work it into my schedule. That's the way it was with Courting Disaster. It just opened up right in front of me. And Fables was and not so much something that fell into my lap, but something that I really, really wanted to do. And I then had to put all my ducks in a row and navigate myself to the point where I could pull it off. And I tell you what, I would not be a bit surprised that in another 6 months, if you do decide you've got a second project in you, it's going to be something that's not a multi-panel. It's either going to be, in other words, probably going to be a gag strip, and it's probably going to use a whole lot of that stuff that you're learning as being a new parent.
Wow, that's an interesting idea. Yeah,
that's true.
You might be right.
Just knowing you as I do, and knowing, you know, kind of what you're going through right now, and everything that's you know, this new beginning, and all this stuff that's fascinating and surprising and funny. I would imagine that you would, out of necessity and out of economy, make it like something that you could put into one strip or one panel with a caption, and also because it would be different in a different challenge than you've got with Sheldon, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it had to do with new parenthood.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, that's entirely possible.
I want to see you do. I don't know which.
I'll tell you what. I'll be honest. I think there's a stroke of brilliance in Chainsaw Suit, Chris, because I'm imagining you can bust those babies out in 5 to 10 minutes if you really put your mind to it.
Oh, my
God. And
there's
something satisfying to, and we all know this as cartoonists, to the idea that, you know, even if the joke was didn't end up being your grade A gold material, because you only spent X amount of time on it, you're like, that's good enough. You know what I mean? In terms of satisfaction. No, right, I mean, in terms of satisfaction level to what was achieved, I can see, because we've all drawn a beautifully drawn strip that we spent hours on where we look at it at the end, we're like, well, that joke wasn't worth that, you know?
I love this strip, but why did I recreate Picasso's Blue Period in the last panel? That was an indulgence that probably is going to bite me in the butt.
You really thought it was going to cement the joke. That's all.
I don't know if you guys saw it. I did a Sheldon on, I think, Friday or Saturday, where I recreated that famous photo of the train accident at the Garmont.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And it took me forever to draw that thing. And I thought, well, God, I hope this joke is worth it, because that took forever to draw. It was Saturday, August 23rd for Sheldon. And, you know, I so rarely draw like that, but I really wanted that feeling of that famous, famous train accident. And, man, I don't know. I after hour two was going into for just that one panel, I was like, this was not worth this joke. Why didn't I just?
I have to disagree. I think it totally is worth the joke.
You thought that was worth
it?
Yes, good. All right.
I thought that was a brilliant strip. I was really kind of jealous that I have not done something like that. I think that was I think my first instinct would have been to find the actual photo and just use it. So I think it's great that you did that.
No, I thought it really worked.
It worked
too.
Great, Dave. Don't second guess yourself.
Come hour two, but you know that feeling when you're actually drawing it, you're like, why didn't I just do Flacco doing a spit take? Whoa, yeah. Why am I drawing this?
Oh, I had the same thing. It's on a Monday coming up where I drew Oscar going to the evil kindergarten for the first day of school. And it's just one long panel with all these sight gags of these kids what would happen with evil villains going to kindergarten, all these, you know, what would be in their lockers, all this other stuff. And I was in position to expand my buffer an entire week because of how the week had broken down for me. And I spent so much time on that one panel that I really only pushed into my buffer 3 days instead of a full six. And I'm sitting there looking at the clock, same thing, going, I could have done this in some very easy panels and gotten the same joke out of it. But I'm really hoping that once it gets posted, it's worth all the time.
Yeah. There's something kind of telling about our art form, though, isn't it? That, like, we're so used to busting it out quickly that when we do allow ourselves the luxury of spending a lot of time on it, there's almost a sense of guilt. Like, I could have done two strips in this amount of time, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting that becomes the trade-off, because I know that there have been times when, okay, to make this really work, I need to draw this from above, and they're walking towards the whatever, and then I'll go, nah, they're just standing there. They're just standing there like they did yesterday. So then that's a cheat, and it didn't work as well.
We're all laughing because we know that mood. Like, I think that communicates it pretty well enough. They're standing there. That gets it across.
And then they're at the twilight, and the sun is dipping, and the beams are pitch black. It's dark. It's nighttime.
Pitch black. two eyes and out.
this relates to something I've caught myself doing recently. I have two or three panel templates. One is a double strip template. One is for four panels and one is for five. And because I rarely go above five panels unless I'm going to make it a double strip. So for me, the five panel is becoming much more comfortable for pacing dialogue. So if I'm writing a strip, my first instinct would be to grab that five panel template. But for art, four panel is great because now I'm only filling up four panels instead of five. So sometimes I'll be sitting down to start a strip and I actually type the dialogue on the strip. I work out my dialogue in the panels. And I come to that one folder where I have to choose four panel or five panel, and sometimes I'm like, five panels, dang it!
Well, you really ought to consider doing what I do in Evil Inc. and Fables, and float, make one of your panels like a floater in between the two panels, because that gives you that pacing, that still gives you that extra step that you subconsciously need to build the tension to your punchline. But then really,
all I have to do is copy and paste ahead.
Really, in that little panel, it doesn't hold much more than a head. Or
it's just somebody's eyeball.
A single eye.
It's just a single Comic-Con eyeball. That's all it is.
The brilliance to me of Chainsaw Suit, and for those of you not reading it, go right now to chainsawsuit.com. But the brilliant thing to me of Chainsaw Suit, and I wish I had a strip that did this, is there's about a million times a day that you think or say something funny that fits literally into nothing that you do artistically.
Yeah.
And it's like you always get that moment where someone, you and your friend laugh, and they're like, "Oh, that's got to go in the strip. That's got to go in the strip." And you think to yourself, no, there's no way I'm going to fit that in.
That doesn't work in my strip.
So, but like, for example, one of my favorite recent Chainsaw Suits is the first panel is all I need. I don't even need the rest, but it's just a guy at a restaurant, and the guy at the podium says, "Hi, welcome to TGI Knife Fights."
There's really no need to go beyond that.
No, there's not. That but the rest of the joke is, I'm from the health department. And this is a terrible theme restaurant. Your freezer's not cold enough to store veggies. And then in the background, there's one guy with just a big ass smile on his face, cutting another patron across the face with a knife. But come on, that's because Chris thought TGI Knife Fights would be a good idea. And where else are you going to put that?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But Chainsaw Suit is the perfect place for TGI knife fights.
And to go back to Dave's, or the original question, when do you do another strip? What am I trying to say here? Any time that I've tried, where I've started with, you know what, I should do a second strip. It's never worked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Anytime I said, Star Stuff, it's time to expand. It's time to try something else. Maybe it'll be about some cats who build a time machine. And those ideas are always, they don't work. But until I've had the inspiration elsewhere, like I want to be able to just tell whatever I want, or I want to talk about musicians, then I can do it pretty easily, and I make the time to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we hope that answers your question, college guy. And when it comes time to mail stuff out, please consider indecia.com/webcomics.
Webcomics. There you go.
Way to seamlessly work that in. That was nice.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Do we have time for one more if it's a quick one?
Do I have time? Do you know how much time I saved not bringing packages to the post office?
That was even better.
No, we literally don't have time.
But seriously, no, we don't have time.
Okay, well, we can pick this one up this time.
No, let's do one quick. Come on, one more quick one.
Okay, I've got one that I think we can deal with real quick.
Whatever the question is, we can only answer with one word.
Okay,
This will be our haiku answer. Kevin writes, "I know you guys have covered writer's block before, but what happens if the opposite occurs? I sometimes find myself in situations when I have more ideas for comics than I can actually manage to use. What should I do with those ideas? I really don't have the time to work on them now, but I fear that if I save the ideas for later, I might lose touch of my original conception. What do I do if I have an overflow of ideas? Also, too many girls want to date me at the same time." 10 cheeseburgers, I never gain a pound. Oh, by the way, I show up for work and do nothing, and I'm making six figures. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Some of that I added myself.
Go ahead.
Can I jump in on this one first? So, Kevin, here's your answer to your question of what do you do when you have too many ideas. Southwest, from most points in the United States, has very low-cost flights. I want you to fly to L.A. so I can pop you in the teeth.
Because I was going to say, take all your extra ideas and shove them up your bum hole and then punch yourself in the face.
No, seriously, there's no shelf life on ideas. Write them down. You're going to be a cartoonist for the rest of your life if things go well. Write them down, and you'll use them at some point, right? I mean, honestly.
I like how the jaded cartoonists are all like, I will kill you, Kevin. I will hunt you down. Too many ideas.
I went through the five stages of loss on that question. I was angry. I was like, screw him. He does not. Oh, God. Why aren't I coming up with 1,000 ideas? Oh, please, God, just give me one more idea. Please let me keep doing BBB for one more year. And then
I'm doing pretty good.
And then at the end, it's like, you know, that's awesome. I hope you do good with your comic.
That's exciting.
I think it's a good time to mention to you guys that I am using a pen name of Kevin now. But I really want to know what to do.
Can I be honest? Most of those ideas, Kevin, are probably really crappy.
Can I agree with that?
Yes.
How do I follow that? Okay, I'll put a tag on that. Most ideas might be really crappy, but if you write them down and work on them later, I bet you've got the seeds of a lot of really good ones.
Brad, does Kevin give a URL? Let me take a look at this genius's script.
Kevin wisely deferred not to give a URL.
Yeah. So shocking. Shocking.
No, here, but let me give some real advice, though. Kevin, please... no, jump off a cliff. No, Kevin, listen, seriously. I think you and people like you and me, we got to do what we can to have a bunch of ideas and not know what to do with
it. It's a curse you have to live with.
I have an actual
recommendation, though.
All right, take
any one of those ideas and see if you can have time to do 5 or 10 strips just for yourself to see and feel it out. Because I've had so many ideas, and then I sit down and I do 3 strips for it, and I go, this is not going to work. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't gel. It's not natural. And maybe it's a good premise, but it's not one that I can use. So take that time and test it for yourself and see if it feels right.
That's a great theory. I like that.
That's a great theory, but it doesn't work, Chris, and here's why.
No. I you know what? Gloria, my wife, does that all the time with like show ideas. She'll start writing and she'll get to like page 5 and she'll be like, nope, not gonna work, and she throws it away. You know, you can tell if you're familiar enough with your craft, you can tell when you're, you know, a few hours or a few days in if it's gonna work or not. And but I think Kevin, though, to if I can try to not be a jerk about it for a second, I think the paper is a wonderful way to capture ideas. And if you don't trust that paper will capture the mood and tone, make a little audio file for yourself on your computer if it's a grand world building story arc idea, and just record yourself telling yourself the story for 2 minutes and keep it. And ideas keep, ideas spoils. You might remember the initial thrust and mood of it, but sometimes when you let it percolate, it actually becomes better when you come back around on it from a different angle. So it's not like an idea spoils if you don't use it right away. I would also
put in the idea of putting it into a database type of thing, so that if you really are getting that many ideas of that many different things, that you can cross-reference it and search for different words, so that later on down the road, when you're looking for a gag on dill pickles, you can do a search and, oh yeah, back in 1991, I had a great dill pickle thought. You know what I mean?
No, that's true. Yeah.
You guys are giving advice to some guy who thinks he's Molière and he's not. You're having him make a database of crap.
Brad, I love that because...
If I jump off the roof of this building, 10 times out of 10, gravity will drag me to my death, all right? That's a law of the universe. It's just the universe we live in, all right? You do not have too many ideas. Most of those ideas are crap. You have the same number of ideas as every other creative person on the planet. So
Scott, you don't have too many ideas? I have way too many ideas.
No, Chris keeps coming back to that.
I've said this before. All ideas are crap. It's the execution of an idea that separates the pros from the amateurs.
That's true.
That's very true. That's very true, too.
Hey, so we can all agree that Chris needs to develop his editor voice in his mind.
Chris
is Scott, throwing everything out and see what it thinks.
Did I properly use Molière as a reference there? Or not?
I don't know him very well. You actually you win over me on that one.
Really? Let me tell you, as the lit major, Scott, you did. You used Molière well there.
Okay, thank you.
He was a man of many ideas.
I mean, I would have gone with
Algonquin Roundtable. Did I use Vlasic correctly?
Did you use Vlasic?
Brad, what I loved about that was how that sentence would have never been uttered by anybody unless he worked at Clausen. Hey, in 1982, I had a great pickle idea.
Hey, Brad, that's the best tasting pickle reference I ever heard.
Well, I delivered it with relish.
Oh.
Oh. Oh my God. No. I'm having sweatles. Sweatles, you're shooting.
I just threw
popping.
Off the panel. Yes, in the panel, there's just a pair of hovering sneakers and socks, and that's it.
I think we should.
You know what's amazing to me? You know what is genuinely amazing? Brad's brain is actually wired up for that. Like,
he doesn't know how to. I know, I was going to say, I have a mental impediment where I cannot do a pun because Brad's like, well, I relished it. And I'm like, I thought it was funny too. Hot dog.
Like, Brad's literally, there's a causality there. Like, somebody says, like, oh, you know, that's that. Somebody uses a thing about wood, and Brad's immediately going to a frame joke or a construction joke. And, like, my brain is like, what? I don't even see it coming.
Please, Dave, doing so would be against my grain. But really.
you're really bunning me out. That was a hot
I'm
dog
sorry.
Pun.
Oh, you know nice. What? My brain is hooked up. And unfortunately, it's a USB hookup, just like Indicia.
Hey,
that works.
Hey, Dave.
I'm trying to be as good as Scott as these little, you know.
Dave, you're behind on the hot dog puns, so you better catch up. Otherwise,
man.
You won't
listen,
cut the
Scott,
mustard.
Scott, when we're done with this phone call, I'm going to call you back and just grill you on this. This is terrible.
Hey. Boy, is this what I sound like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm a fan.
No, but Brad. That's actually not fair. You do not sound that like that because you have a vocal quality where, without even saying it, your voice gives off the da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's true. That's why it's worse when any of us does it because it's not – it's unnatural.
Because we're already
There's an inner joy when you do it, Brad. It's like seeing a kid see a balloon. You know, it's like, oh, you can't help but be happy as an adult when you see a kid see a balloon. Like when you see Brad see the pun, you're like, I can appreciate that. That was there.
Yeah,
was some beauty
yeah.
There.
We're just going through the motions. We put on the clown makeup and everything, but we're kind of moping around.
Brad feels it. It's like, remember that fantasy story about the one guy that could fight the dragon because he had some of the dragon in him? What is that, the Green Knight?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, Brad
or,
has
or Dragonheart.
Okay. No. Dragonheart. Goodness gracious. I am the last of my kind. Whatever. Damn it, Chris, you stop it now. You started Dragonheart reference.
You know
Brad
what? Now
has
you,
the
now
pun
you know
inside of him. Well, I was talking to Brad on the phone one day, and he was asking me how things were going, and I said, well, we've got this tree in the back, and it's old, and my wife's been asking me to go out and cut down some of the dead limbs, and so I was up on the ladder, and I was sawing off dead limbs, and she was kind of directing me from below, and I wasn't paying attention, and one of the limbs knocked her on the head, and it's just been a bad day, and Brad is like, well, you say it, you came, you sawed, you conked her.
Oh.
This is not going better. This is not. We're not improving things.
That's
no.
It's the one pun I know, so I just built into a fake story about Brad. Indicia.
Indicia hot dogs at pickles.
Clausen, Jimmy Superfly Snook, and we're out.
Wow, we really do. These podcasts really have just started just disintegrating towards the end of them. They just
I
down
learned
into
a lot.
Gibberish.
I learned a lot.
Jibba jabba. You-
Kevin, well, this myself- is what happens when you don't have so many ideas that you don't know what to do with them. just start desperately grabbing frantically in the dark.
Floundering.
For anything.
That's why Kevin is not on a podcast, because he's too busy with the great ideas.
The fact that Kevin isn't floundering sounds fishy to me.
I often wonder, though, if by doing these podcasts, we're all secretly scripting the next weeks of Evil Inc. I sometimes wonder.
I wish I could write that fast.
Yeah.
What was the... Chris, I might have to cut this out of the podcast, but what was the title of the fake... Brad's book that you, when you did all those books that had the title of them, that what was it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I did a bunch of like what should the strip actually be titled if everything was laid bare.
If comic strips were actually titled the way that they
and it was
were.
It was just pun in the last panel. That was Brad's strip.
What was mine?
Yours was a NCN Night Court News Radio was the new name of your
That's
strip.
Right, NCN. What was Dave's?
What was Sheldon?
Dave's I retitled A Blizzard of Lizards, and it was a Cute Animals Move product.
I love it.
Man.
I need to put those up.
You do.
Because I did the fonts and everything to make it look like it was real.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see that.
I want to see those.
They're good.
I'll send you a link when we're done.
What was my favorite one? I can't remember.
God, I don't remember now. I'm going to have to find where I uploaded them.
Yeah, find them. They're really good.
Well, we'll put them up.
All right. Do we have to mention in DC again? My God, that's all we talked about this episode.
Well, hey, let's make sure we're sending people to the right place so we get a little credit here. Indicia.com/webcomics.
Yes.
Right.
Do not go anywhere else because you won't get the awesome deal that I wasn't afforded.
That we didn't get either. Yeah.
I know.
But I guess that Brad will be able to take advantage of.
I am going to be doing that this week, I guarantee it. And then I'll be able to kind of give you guys a little heads up as to what a new user thinks of this.
That's
very nice.
Yeah. Seriously, though, you should probably just call them on the sly because, you know, we have a relationship with them now.
Maybe I will.
They're like, you're not eligible for this offer. You're technically now an employee of Indicia, and you cannot win the sweepstakes, and you cannot take advantage.
Brad, we had it all packaged up. We were just going to send you a complimentary one, and then we got to the end of the podcast and heard those puns, and here...
Oh. We just assume not be identified with you at all.
Oofa.
Or even worse, it's like my mother works for Vlasic.
She just got fired.
Or a competing pickle company. What's the other?
Clausen.
Let's see. Clausen. There's Best Made here in Dallas.
Well, there's Clausen and there's Vlasic, right?
Yeah, those are the big ones.
Oh, so Dave already did that joke. Okay, never mind.
Don't worry. You know, it's fine.
Oofa.
Oofa. It's all good.
Someone
all
right, put this podcast out of its misery.
Webcomics Weekly.
Webcomics Weekly.
Out.
Hey-oh.